Welcome to the Sunbird Sports Show with Paul Meadors. Brought to you by Fresno Pacific University on 790 ESPN.
Absolutely. Welcome to the Sunbird Sports Show on 790 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Meadors, live here at the 1430 790 ESPN studios on Palm Avenue across from Bullard High School. We're here, well, almost every Wednesday from 6 to 7, talking about the wonderful student athletes from Fresno Pacific University. You can listen to past shows on Apple, Spotify, YouTube as well, wherever you listen to your podcast. Welcome to 2026. And the reason why I said mostly on Wednesday nights, well, we do have the show every Wednesday night, but it's been a while. It's our first show of the year. Our last show of 2025 was on December 17th, and that was a really fun show. If you guys missed it, I had three members of the 1995 men's basketball team at Fresno Pacific University. It was Todd Tompkins, John Jones, Tim Admonson, three dudes that are still involved here in the community and the San Joaquin Valley. Two of them are still coaching high school basketball, doing an amazing job. And yeah, it was a really fun episode. Again, you could go back and listen to all the episodes. I think we're on episode, 44, maybe even 45. I'm going to have to go back and double check on that. But year and a half of Sunbird Sports Show here on 790 ESPN. All right, so tonight for our first show, a little bit of a pivot. I'm excited about this one. And one of the reasons why I'm excited is because we've already done the interview. I interviewed AJ Kirby via Zoom on Sunday morning. We always love hearing from alumni of the school. And this was a really, really fun, informative, just an excellent interview and talk with AJ Kirby, who played basketball at Fresno Pacific from 2017 to 2022. He is currently a firefighter down in the Los Angeles area. He was also named as an FPU Distinguished Alum. Like I mentioned, this is a great, great young man. Fresno Pacific produces great young men and women, and he is just one shining example. We talk about his career as a firefighter so far, a few stories about what it takes to be a firefighter. His father is a retired sergeant from the LA Police Department. He was a 34-year veteran, so he's got that background as well as being in public servitude. He's got stories of playing basketball, so he played through the COVID era as well. Just a great kid. Coach CJ Haydock talks very highly of him. So after the break, I have some recap and some things to come from Fresno Pacific University Athletics. After the break, we're going to hear two different segments with AJ Kirby. Really excited for you guys to hear his amazing story. All right, so let's get into the recap as we do every episode. Like I said, it's been nearly a month since our last show, so we have a lot to cover. We're going to begin with swim. The Sunbirds had a pair of meets to start the new year. First up was against SoCal's Occidental College, which saw the men victorious behind many strong races, including Oscar Herbert in the 1,000-meter free and Olivia Petrie in the 200 free. The women fought hard and were led by Kaylin Mutoli, who won the 200 medley and 200 free. Less than a week later, they were back in the pool against powerhouse UC Santa Cruz on senior day, celebrating 10 senior swimmers. Jillian Lambert dominated the 50 free, while Justin Ferrer took home the gold in the 400 IM. In basketball, both teams were down in Orange County before Christmas to take on Concordia and Vanguard. Both would fall in each contest, but to begin the new year, both teams started to come alive. They would both defeat Hawaii Pacific and Hawaii Hilo, with the Lady Sunbirds' victory over Hilo coming on a buzzer-beating layup by Australian transfer Ashley Otterson. Seth Brown, meanwhile, put up 24 points against Hilo for a new career high in the men's win. Next up was Westmont College, and the women would fall 62-49, while the men won 73-69. Senior guard Isaac Peralta, IP, scored 12 points on the night, putting him over 1,000 career points as a Sunbird. Isaac was named PacWest Player of the Week and was honored prior to tip-off of the next game, which was last night, against Azusa Pacific. The Cougars were too much for the women, who defeated the Birds 88-65. San Joaquin's Memorial Angela Whitfield led the team with 16 points in the defeat. The men held on for a 68-64 win, now their fourth win in a row, with Peralta also putting up 16 points in the victory. The men are currently 5-3 in PacWest Conference play, sitting tied for fourth with Concordia, who they'll take on tomorrow night at the Special Events Center. And that leads up to what's coming next for the Sunbirds. They're going to be taking on Concordia at home, Special Events Center. These games can be heard live right here on 790 ESPN with Scott Bemis on the call. He does a fantastic job with that. The track and field team begin their season away to the Nevada Invite in Reno on Friday and Saturday. And on Saturday, men's tennis gets things going away to UC Davis, plus women's water polo season tips off against the Division I UC Davis and Santa Clara. Swim is down south against Caltech and Whittier College, and basketball hits the road for a pair against Westmont. Then both basketball teams will be back for a home doubleheader on Tuesday night against Jessup. All home FPU events are just $10 for fans 18 and older, while those 17 and under are free. Visit FPUSunbirds.com for more information. We're going to take a break right now, and the next thing you're going to hear is my interview with AJ Kirby. It's going to be in two segments. Thank you guys for listening. It's a really exciting interview. Can't wait for you guys to hear it. You're listening to it all on the Sunbird Sports Show on 790 ESPN.
All right, welcome back. I am excited about our next conversation. We have AJ Kirby right now. He's a former basketball player from Fresno Pacific University, now a firefighter down in the Los Angeles area. First of all, AJ, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, doing good. Thank you guys for having me. Excited to be here.
Absolutely, and we're recording this, and I see that you're wearing a Dodger hat right now. So you got a love for that team down south, man. Back to back world champions. Yes. I like you already.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Go Dodgers.
Go Dodgers. Did you grow up a Dodger fan? Did you go to some games? Who are some of your favorite players?
I did. I like Yasiel Puig, Andre Ethier, D. Gordon is another sleeper player. I love Dodgers. Been a Dodger fan my whole life. Yeah.
That's awesome. So mm-hmm. when they won this last World Series, were you going crazy? Where were you watching?
I was actually at work in that crazy game that went to like 18 or 19 innings, whatever. We stayed up watching it. We actually cleared a call, came back, and the game was still on. We watched it till like midnight. Yeah, it was insane.
Being from SoCal, I'm sure everyone was a Dodger fan. So there weren't any of those Giant fans or anybody like that that we see here in the Central Valley.
Yeah, no Giants fans down there.
All right, good stuff. We're going to be talking about a lot of things. Excited to have you for the full hour. I got to ask you though, right? You're 6'5". You got to be the tallest firefighter, one of the tallest firefighters, at least down there at the station or around the Los Angeles area. Is that right?
Yes. So I'm pretty much, any station I work at, I'm pretty much one of the tallest guys. There's a couple guys following me, but for the most part, I'm the tallest. Yeah.
Does that help you at all? Are you able to get to some things that other guys might not be able to?
Exactly. Well, yeah, around the station, like reaching up in cabinets, a lot of guys asking for help. But on fires, it's actually harder when you're taller because we have to get low to the heat rises. So you want to be as low as possible to stay out of the heat. So it's harder for a taller guy to get low when you're inside and fire. But yeah.
Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. We're going to get into some of the mechanics of that in just a second. But just kind of walk us through how you became a firefighter. When did you attend the fire academy? I know you graduated, I believe, in 2022. So, you're a pretty recent graduate from Fresno Pacific University. But just walk us through how you became a firefighter.
Yeah, so it was around my last couple of weeks in Fresno. I was deciding on what I wanted to do in life. My dad was a police officer, so I was interested in joining the police department. And then he randomly just sent me, him and my godfather sent me the application to LAB. He said they're hiring and say you should apply. And I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I just applied to LAPD and LAFD. And one of the requirements to get your EMT. So I was working as an EMT. And as an EMT, we worked with the fire department. And just being around the fire department, just seeing the camaraderie they had, the teamwork they had, I enjoyed their schedule. I enjoyed the fact that every day is different. No day is the same. They're always doing new stuff every day. And of course, they get to like serve the citizens and serve the community that they work in. So that kind of made me decide, like, I like it. I enjoy the fire department and want to be a part of it. So that's how I made my decision.
Do you remember like your first day as an official firefighter? What was that like for you?
Oh, the academy. I remember the first day of the academy was pretty intense. It's like a boot camp type of academy. So we go in and we're doing push-ups, sit-ups, we're training, and they're trying to make sure you really want to do this. Like, this is really what you want to do, and try to just prepare you for what's to come. So remember the first day was really intense, and I remember when I got out, I was just tired, exhausted. But I enjoyed it. I'm happy.
So what was the hardest part that you had to go through? Well, I mean, you're an athlete, right? So you mm-hmm. think the physical part would be pretty easy. Was there some mental exercises that might have been a little tough, or how were you able to balance all that?
The physical part, I would say I was pretty prepared for that. But yeah, just the mental part and the teamwork aspect. We're all a team. So if one person messes up, everyone gets disciplined for it. So you might not necessarily be the one messing up, but you get disciplined for someone else's mistakes, because we're all a team. We're all one department. We're no greater than our, like, the weakest member. So that was just getting disciplined for stuff you didn't do was mentally tough, but you just had to pick up your other member and let them know that they could get through it, and eventually we'll all get through it. But yeah.
That's great. So at the station, just, can you walk us through, let's say, I don't know, I know there's no regular days there at the station, but just walk us through a day, maybe even a day like last week.
Just day in life. So first thing you do when you get to the station, I make relief around 5:30 is when I get to work. First thing you do is take the person you're relieving their equipment off the rig and put your equipment on, and you do your daily checkout. So you check your SCBA. You take your PPE and all your equipment on the truck, make sure everything is ready to go. So that's in case you get an incident. And once you do that, the person you're relieving usually rakes up and they give you a one down of what they did the previous day and lets you know what equipment they use, if they went on any incidents, what incident it was, and just give you a basic rundown of the things that happened the day before. And after that, we usually like make coffee and eat breakfast with the crew, and then we have lineup, which the captain, he's in, gives us a rundown of the plan throughout the day. If we have a move up to another fire station or if we have training, he'll give us in staffing and our scheduling. So he gives you a rundown of that at lineup. And then we do our, if we have a rookie or probationary firefighter, they do their drill like right after lineup between 8 and 10. And then from 10 to 12, we usually do a station project. If we have a ladder we have to work on, we'll work on the ladder. Or each day we have daily tasks that we have to do. So let's say it's a Tuesday, we change out all the hose that's been used that's wet. We change out, put dry hose on the engine and wash our hose and then hang it up to dry. Then we will probably go to lunch. And then after lunch, we do just more run calls throughout the whole thing as well. Then we go to the store and shop, and the cook cooks and prepares a meal. We eat dinner, and as we're doing that, we're just running calls throughout the day and just working on different things around the station.
All right, help me out with sleep. Like, what does that look like for you guys? Are you trying to sneak in naps? Let's say you got a late call. Like, what does that look like for you and your guys?
Yeah, sleep is hard to come by. Yeah, we're pretty busy, but we usually go to bed around 10 p.m. And depending on how the night goes, depends on like how much sleep you get. Sometimes you able to sleep through the night and we not run any calls, but some days you get 4 or 5 calls at night. So it depends on the night. But during the day, people take naps here and there. And especially if you work multiple days in a row, you'll go hide off and take a nap, a recovery nap. So you're able to function and respond to the next call.
Good answer. I like that
Yeah.
answer. That's pretty much what I figured. So how about your cooking skills? Right, I hear about that a lot through some
Yeah.
firefighter friends. Right, like,
Yeah.
were you thrown into the fire? Like, okay, now it's your turn to cook. You better make something good.
Yes. So I would say first, when I first joined the apartment, my cooking skills weren't that good, but over time they gradually increased because if you don't serve a good meal, you're going to hear about it. So I that's something you keep getting better at, and it's hard. That's what I say, it's probably one of the hardest parts of the job is cooking, because yeah, if you make a bad meal, you're going to hear about it. But over time you get better and better, you start figuring out what the guys like and what they prefer to eat, and you start improving and making good meals.
Well, what do you like to eat? What's like your
Me,
go-to? Somebody makes a
my
good
go-to
pasta?
meal, I make carne asada tacos. That's my go-to
Ooh,
meal
all right.
for
That's a good call.
dinner. And then lunch, I like a teriyaki chicken bowl. It's pretty nice.
All
That's
right,
what the
that's
guys
cool.
like, yeah.
I mentioned your father, and he was a sergeant in the police force down in Los Angeles, LAPD, 34 years. He retired. What was it like growing up with your father working for the police force and then you going into the fire department service? Like, how was that growing up, and how much do you admire your father?
I admire him a lot. He was a huge part of my life. I know he worked a lot, he was busy, but he always made time to, he coached my childhood basketball teams, and he would just always be there for me during the weekend and going to tournaments, traveling AAU, going to Florida, Kentucky. He would always make sure he would make those trips and be a part of the team and be there with me. And then just him being a police officer, like I said, I was really interested in becoming a police officer. Just growing up, I would enjoy going to the station and going on ride-alongs with him and just seeing like what he does throughout the day. And he was involved with community relations, so the community really liked him, and he was a big part of the community in the area that he worked in. So he was well liked, and I just strive to be like him growing up. And I'm happy he recommended to me to join the fire department, because he just knows that that's it'll be like something out like you know like I prefer the fire department of police force. So he like kind of persuaded me and got me to the fire department. So I'm happy to him for doing that.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's been about a year, AJ, since the Palisades fire, and I know you weren't you told me you weren't directly involved with it, but that was just a devastating time for you guys, for the people in that area as well. The destruction was massive, as you were well aware of. Like, what was your reaction when you first heard about those fires, and how were you, even though you weren't directly involved in fighting them, like, how were you guys able to be on the ready and help support what was going on down there?
So I actually was working the day that they went out. So I was at Station 12 in Highland Park, and I got detailed to work the ambulance at Station 9 in the Skid Row area. And as I was packing up my stuff to go to another station, like we turn on the news and we see the Palisades fire going out. So we immediately grabbed the radios and listened on to the incident, and like you could just hear the attendance of the captain's voice on the radio asking like for additional companies. It was insane. And then as I was packing up my stuff, one of the engines at Station 12 actually got attached to the incident. So they went out to help out with the fires. And I was working on the ambulance Station 9 that day, but that day it was just intense because the Palisades fires were going out, the Enid fires were going out. And then we also have to respond to the citizens of the city. So, and the winds were insane. There was fires going out in the city that were separate from the Palisade fires and medical calls. So That was one of the busiest days I ever seen. And like guys with 30 years on the job say, that's a once in a lifetime type of thing. You'll never see that again in your career. It was just insane.
What were some stories that you have heard or maybe even watched on the news that that you'll remember from that time? What are some of the things that the other guys were saying? I know you mentioned that they said it was absolutely insane. It's probably the biggest fires that they'll ever see in their lifetime or in their career. But were there some inspirational stories or were some, you know, some teamwork that you heard about with some of the firefighters?
Actually, yeah, I saw a story on the news. It was actually the station I'm at now. Some of the members were able to save a home. They had to force entry and get in the backyard. And fire was starting to get into the house, and they actually knocked it down and put the fire out. And they got recognized for that. So that was one of the good moments I've seen. But just know that the winds were insane. The smoke and the amount of smoke and the dust that they were breathing in was just horrific. And they said there will be never anything like that. And, yeah.
Did you ever drive by it while it was happening when you were off work, or have you driven by it recently?
Yeah, so the next couple of days I was actually covering one of the stations in the area, and we drove by. We had a couple of medical calls of just families who didn't want to leave, not family, but just members who didn't want to leave their homes, and they were having some medical issues. But it was intense. All you could see is the chimneys, because everything else burned down. All you see is this row of chimneys down the street, and that was it. It was sad to see, and this eye-opening that to see all that. You didn't think it was real at the moment. That's how crazy it was.
Yeah, I know a lot of people were, you know, probably like you, seeing it for the first time. You're like, oh, that's, you know, maybe just a little fire, they'll be able to get it out. And then the winds, and you're watching every night on the news, and you see the devastation. And it's just, and obviously the insurance, and, you know, over 12 people lost their lives. So it was just a devastating time for people down there. But, you know, firefighters, I'm sure they have some stories and traumatic events that went on, but you guys were on the front lines, man. There are a lot of people that put themselves out there and put themselves at risk as well. So, yeah, to all the firefighters down there, it was an incredible job that they did. We only got a couple minutes before we're going to hit break with you here, AJ. What's something that you wish the public would understand a little bit more about firefighters? I know you're an extremely respected position, your career, but what's something that you think most people don't understand about what it means to be a firefighter?
I'll say this. It's hard work. We're trying our hardest during the past days to save as much as we can. Just it may not seem like it, but we are working long days, long nights. You get no sleep, but we're just doing our best to just serve the citizens and serve the community of LA. And that's our main goal, is just to help out whatever we can.
All right, last question before we hit break here. What's the wildest call that you've ever been on? What's something that maybe would have been, maybe makes a really good story?
There's a lot. It's so hard to pick from what I've seen, a lot of stuff. The wildest call.
Like, you, sometimes you see, you know, if you're a firefighter or work in law enforcement, you know, I know you're a basketball guy. So have you ever, like, played some pickup basketball with somebody that you've seen or shot some hoops? Or
actually, yeah, I saw Zach Levine. We were running a call in our clear call. We went to eat lunch, and we were eating lunch at the same spot as Zach Levine in L.A. right by the airport. Yeah, so that was pretty
cool.
Interesting. Yeah. You see a lot of celebrities. Yeah, I've seen – who else? I've seen LeBron, actually. I was working in LeBron's district where he lives, and we saw him driving down the street right past us. That was pretty interesting as well. Yeah.
You didn't yell at him?
I did.
Like, hey, LeBron,
he waved
man,
at
let's
us.
Go.
He waved
oh,
at
okay.
us, and
That's
we
cool.
waved back. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Very, very cool. All right. We're going to take a break here. Let's talk with AJ Kirby, and then we're going to come back with a little bit more about his basketball career at Fresno Pacific. what he learned from being a Sunbird and how that's carried over to his career. You're listening to the Sunbird Sports Show on 790 ESPN.
Now, welcome back to the Sunbird Sports Show with Paul Metters on 790 ESPN.
Welcome back to the Sunbird Sports Show. We have a great show going on right now. This has been a lot of fun. We have AJ Kirby with us. He's down in SoCal right now. The first segment, we focused a lot about his time as a firefighter, how he got involved with that career, some of his experiences there, what it's like to be a firefighter. And now we're going to focus a little bit more about his time at Fresno Pacific University. He was a basketball player there, played for Coach CJ Haydock. AJ, just what were some of the things? Let's talk about your recruiting, how you even arrived at Fresno Pacific University. Did you go to high school down in SoCal? When did you first hear about the school, and how did you arrive at the school?
Yeah, I went to high school at Bishop Montgomery in Torrance in Southern California. Actually, how I heard about the school, we were playing a tournament during, I think it was during Christmas break or something. We played against Emmanuel, who coached Haydock coached for the previous year before, but now he was assistant coach at FPU. And he was at the game watching the game, and that's how he first got eyes on me and started recruiting me. And then the next year, he offered me a scholarship, and that's how I ended up going to FPU from that game, playing against him at Emmanuel.
I did not know that. All right, that's great information. Mm-hmm. I got to talk to you a little bit more then about Bishop Montgomery. Who were some of the – I mean, that's a national-level program. What were some of the – some great memories playing for that school and some of the places that it took you?
Yes. We played against a lot of top talent. Yeah, a lot of my former teammates are in the NBA or G League or play overseas. Played against, like, the Ball Brothers, the Sierra Canyons, all the top modern days, all the top high schools in California. So we have a CIF championship, state championship. So a lot of great memories with Bishop Montgomery.
So you played at Golden One Arena in Sacramento in the state championship?
It was before it was Golden, the forgot the old arena name, but before they moved into Golden One.
You still got – you got a ring?
Yes.
What'd you get for winning that?
A ring, yes. We got a ring, you know.
Where's that ring sitting at right now?
It's actually at my parents' house. It's not with me right now, but
– That's cool. That's mm-hmm. cool. All right. So you get to Fresno Pacific College. What were some of your initial thoughts? Like, oh man, this college thing, was it something you just slid right into? Was it easy for you, or how did you adjust to the college life?
It was hard at first, I'm not gonna lie. Not knowing anyone, going to the school 4 hours from home, not knowing anyone, not having any friends. It was kind of hard. I was just on my own for the first time, but this and being a redshirt that year too, not being able to play in any games, just practicing but don't actually get to play, it was hard on me. But then you start to build a relationship with your teammates, and I had Elijah and RJ, you know, who are other freshmen that year who I really bonded with and became great friends. And eventually the year got better and better, and then yeah, here we are today.
What surprised you the most when you got to Fresno Pacific? Was it trying to balance the academics? Was it how difficult some of the basketball might be? What surprised you the most when you first started?
I would say this, the responsibility of being on your own and not with your parents. It's a big step from being at home with your parents to living on your own, and you make your own rules. You decide how you do your day. You don't rely on anyone else. It's you make the decisions. It was hard. And then just basketball-wise, the talent, everyone is bigger and stronger. So it took me a little while to get used to that. And that's why I had to be redshirt and get in the gym and work out, get bigger and stronger faster. And then eventually it starts to level out. But, yeah.
Yeah, and you were what, 18 years old, right? So
17.
It's like you're the young buck playing against some, you know, some 21, 22 year old men, right?
Yes.
Basketball wise, so you get in, you start playing, you start getting a little playing time your freshman year after that redshirt year, and then you have a really good career. What, just talk about like the position that you played, and what stands out to you most during your time as a Sunbird?
I played like shooting guard, small forward, anywhere, wherever Coach Hayock needed me, I would play. And yeah, this what stood out to me during my career there, just obviously the best moment is going to the national tournament in 21-21 during the COVID year. And yeah, playing in Colorado, that was probably my top moment of all time. But just the relationship I built with all the teammates I had over the 6 years I was there, I've created lifelong friendships and brothers that are that's something you can't replicate. And I'm just happy and grateful that I was able to be a part of a college basketball team, because not everyone gets to say they've done that.
Absolutely. Who was your biggest rival back then?
I'll say we had a lot of rivals, but probably Biola, I would say. And I actually got a chance to go watch FU play this year in Fresno against Biola, and they won. So that's always a good feeling when you beat Biola. So
it is. It is. Yeah. And a lot of people don't know. I think I brought this up maybe last year on one of the episodes, but Biola stands for the Bible Institute of LA. Like, yes. A lot of people don't know that. It's actually an acronym.
Yep.
And I'm sure you know that, living in SoCal.
Yeah.
Is there a specific game that you remember back then? You know, you went to the national tournament, you had that phenomenal season, but is there one game that stands out to you thinking about your career?
I know I had a pretty good game versus Academy of Art during the COVID year. We played them back-to-back times that year. That was very intense. But I remember one of the games, I hit a couple of big threes, and I was hyped up, and that was probably one of the best games of my career. So, yeah.
Was that game at home or
away? It was at home, with no fans in the gym. It was just us, you know?
Okay, let's talk about that a little bit. So the COVID time and playing in front of nobody, what did it feel like for you? Did it feel like just a scrimmage, like you're playing another team, or was it hard to get hyped? Just walk us through that time.
Yeah, it kind of did feel like a scrimmage, like a closed door scrimmage, kind of like the game didn't really, or it mattered, but it didn't feel like a real game at first. And there's no crowd, no one cheering, but we always try to be loud on our bench. So I feel like our bench made up for some of it. And some of the games we played throughout our years there, we didn't have a huge turnout of fans in the gym. So we just try to use our bench to make that noise and hype us up. But yeah, it took a little bit to get used to, definitely.
I can't imagine. Yeah. Again, you work so hard at practice, and you're like, oh man, we're in this time period. When did you guys go to Division II? That was way before your time, right? Because I know they had a switch, but you guys were all your playing career, you're Division II, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think it was, I'm not too sure off the top of my head what year.
I think it was maybe around 2012. I don't know. I'll have to go back and correct myself on that one. Yeah. Okay. 11 and 12. I'm curious too, AJ, about the community-mindedness that Coach CJ Hayock has brought to the Fresno Pacific men's basketball program. I know he's a great developer of young men. He prepares you guys for life, obviously. You are well into your career as a firefighter. What did Coach CJ Hayock mean to you, and how did he help bring about that community mindedness to you and to your teammates?
Yeah, Coach Hayock means a lot to me. Just took me in, treated us like we were his own kids. Really took good care of all of his athletes that he had on the team, and yeah, he instilled. He didn't care about basketball. He wanted us to grow as men off the court, and then that will tie into basketball. How we act off the court is how we will act on the court. So he really tried to tie that in for us and was really the Fresno community really meant a lot of, to him and to us as a school. So we wanted to do as much as we can to make the community feel involved, the campus and all the try to recruit around like the Fresno area. That's because the Fresno community means a lot to them.
Yeah, I agree. It's it definitely makes a huge impact on the community. What do you miss most, AJ, about your time at Fresno Pacific? Do you miss just walking around campus? Do you miss the mealtime? Do you miss the practices? Maybe it's those long van or bus rides that you had there. What do you miss most about the university?
Well, I miss the games for sure, playing in the games. Miss the cafeteria, going to the cafeteria and have food for you already cooked, whatever you like, a buffet. And just being able to walk outside and being able to see like a teammate or a friend, that's something like you can't really do like in LA or just anywhere once you leave college. So be able to go see a friend at a moment's notice, just like right outside next door. Miss being a part of just the team and being with my brothers every day. It's sad, but it's something, yeah, you can't replicate or get back. So
it was did you live on in the apartments or in the dorm rooms? Where'd you live for most of your time? Yes. In Fresno Pacific?
I lived in Creek Bomb on the dorms for my first 2 or 3 years, and I moved to the Heaton houses. And then 1 year I lived off campus.
And 1 year off campus.
Well, that was a COVID year. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah. I know you mentioned the food, right? Mm-hmm. The cafeteria. Yeah. Back in my day when I was on campus, we only had two choices. We barely had like a little hour of window of time, man. And I remember I had to eat really quick. Sometimes I had to take my chicken fingers into my classroom.
Yeah.
And eat my food right, you know, at the beginning of class. But you guys get pretty hooked up with the food stuff, don't you? Talk to me about those food options that you had at Fresno Pacific.
They had like a pizza bar, salad bar. They made sandwiches for us. And remember, we could make our own like quesadillas. And there was also like another section where you could like they had like eggs, and you could make your own stir fry with eggs, scrambled eggs, or whatever you want. And then plus whatever they were serving for the main course that day. So it was a lot of options. Oh, and then the ice cream. You can't forget the ice cream machine.
You guys are spoiled, yeah, man. You had it so good over there. And now you got to cook for the guys at the
exactly,
station.
Yeah.
You still play a little basketball these days?
I do. I'll play pickup at like 24-hour fitness or the local park. And I'm also a part of the LAFD basketball team as well. So we play against other fire departments, police departments, and just first responders in the area. And they have a police and fire Olympics that they do every year that we play in.
I bet when you got hired, they're like, yeah, he's on our team.
Yeah.
Seeing you walk in at 6'5".
Yeah, yeah.
All right, you still got a little bit? Is it a little bit harder for you to recover, or you still feel like you're in good shape?
No, I still feel good. I'm one of the younger guys on the team. So
that's awesome. Mm-hmm. I know you know you're a Dodger fan, but basketball wise, like who you a Clippers guy, you Lakers, who are some of your favorite players of all time?
I'm a Laker fan for sure. And my favorite player of all time is Kobe. Of course, Kobe is the GOAT. He's the greatest in my opinion. And there's someone I grew up watching, enjoyed watching him play. So, you know, Kobe's definitely my favorite of all time.
What did you love most about watching his game? His intensity, you know, his turnaround, his defense. What would you love most about watching Kobe?
And that's his ability to score, like, and the ability to hit tough shots. Like the tough shots he made were insane. Just the highlights, the dunks, that's everything about his game. Oh, and I love his shoes too. It's probably one of the best basketball shoes of all time, in my opinion.
Do you own any Kobe shoes, AJ?
I do. I have Kobe 8s, Kobe 7s. I have a bunch of Kobe, the ADs. I wore a couple of Kobes in Fresno. Oh, I have a lot of Kobe shoes. I think I had, just growing up, I had one pair of each shoe that he ever released.
Nice. Did you buy, did you wear them, or did you just put them away?
Oh, no, I wore them. Definitely wore
You wore them. You
them.
wore them. Okay. So they weren't just for like investment purposes. You
No.
actually wore them out there. Okay.
Yes.
Well, all right. So I gotta ask your opinion then. What's your take on this year's Lakers team?
Oh, I like them. I think they could go far. LeBron is great, Luka's great, and Austin Reaves been great this year as well. So just feel like if we keep up playing how we have been, then they could do good and go deep in the playoffs this year.
How many games has LeBron and Luka played together this year? It hasn't been very many, has it?
Has not. I know when LeBron came back, we did get a little worse, but is this going to take time? Yeah, but
Even though you waved him, even though he waved back to you, right? Like it's like, okay, LeBron, yeah. I want to ask you how the competitiveness that you displayed during your basketball career at Fresno Pacific correlates then to being a firefighter or the leadership. Like how do some of the lessons that you learned on the basketball court translate to your profession now?
Just as a leader, the fireground always needs leaders. You're always going to be a younger member. Just our department is growing. There's a lot of rookies coming up under us, so you have to be a leader and guide them because they don't have a lot of experience. You got to put them in the right place, let them know what they need to do. So that leadership role definitely translates over to the fireground.
What about the teamwork atmosphere? You mentioned a little bit in the first segment about how important teamwork is, and even throughout your day, you explained how, cleaning the hoses, or even cooking, and just talking about what may come up throughout the day. Like the idea of teamwork, how important is that in the firefighter world?
Oh yeah, teamwork is probably it's very important. The camaraderie we have, the amount of stuff we have to do to work together, yeah, it's very important. Thus, we all have to hold each other accountable as well, but help out when needed. Like when we're training to replicate like a serious situation, life or death situation, and we know that if we're training and our brother is training just as hard as us, that if something goes wrong, we could trust them to help us when our life is on the line. So teamwork is definitely a very important part of the job. And then the camaraderie, it makes you enjoy coming to work, just being part of kind of replicates the college basketball team, just being a part of a brotherhood and a family. You invite your family and to see your coworkers, and they're just like become a second family at work. So it's definitely a huge part of the job.
Has there been a recent call where you've seen that in action? Or it doesn't even have to be recent, but is there one that pops into your mind? You're like, oh yeah, we had to get our things together and get after it. Is there an example you can share with us?
Just like on Christmas Day, we had a fire, and then just know that like all of our training that we do, it works and it comes into play, and we execute the plan. So on our fire on Christmas Day, we all did our appropriate job. We all did what we needed to do, and that training that we've been doing worked, and it executed, and we were able to put the fire out. So that pretty much every day we do something like that involves teamwork. So yeah.
What was your job on that specific call on Christmas?
So that fire, I was the nozzle member, so I had the hose line, and I was first in putting out the fire, staying low inside, and then just like stuff like other people would do. There was another member pulling hose behind me because that hose is heavy, and going around corners it gets stuck. So someone's pulling hose. We have a captain with our thermal imaging camera trying to help us find the fire. There's other companies on the roof ventilating to remove smoke from the building. So we all are working together. We all have different jobs, but we all have to rely on each other to do our job. So we execute the plan. So
that's great. That's great. We got about another 4 more minutes and a couple more minutes with you, AJ. How are you guys able to communicate? I'm very curious about that. You piqued my interest. Like, do you have headsets? Does everybody have a headset? You got earpieces? Are you yelling? What does that look like?
So yeah, when we're driving around the city in the rig, those rigs are pretty loud. We have headsets that we wear inside the apparatus that we're able to communicate with each other with. But on scene of incidents, we all carry our own radio, and we all, if we need to relay information to each other, we could talk on the radio. But most of the stuff is all, we train so much, so we don't really have to communicate. It's just all, we know that sets and reps, if we stuff that we have to do on each fire. So
that's great. All right, AJ, this has been an absolute pleasure to talk with you. I got one more question before we sign off. This has been a ton of fun for me. Very informative as well. I'm sure everybody listening has found out not only about your life, but what it means to be a firefighter, but just your overall thoughts of Fresno Pacific University and how they molded you into the man that you are today. Just how much you love the university and your time spent there.
Oh yeah, of course. I love FPU. I love Fresno. Spent 6 years of my life there. And like you said, going from high school to colleges, they taking me in as a young adult and molded me who I am today. I wouldn't be the person who I am today without going to FPU. So it really means a lot to me just to see the growth of the school and the growth of the basketball program, what Coach Hayock is doing. Like, I went up there this year and just seeing all the improvements to the gym and the locker room and all the jerseys, it just brings joy to me to see the growth of the program. And I was just happy that I could be a part of it. And yeah, it just means so much to me.
Absolutely. And you're a distinguished alum of the school and Sunbird of the Year as well. And you represent the school very well. And I know the school is proud of you. And it's good to hear that how much you love the school and how much the school impacted you. And hey, again, great to talk to you. And how about this? Go Dodgers.
Yep, yep. And go Sunbirds. Yep.
And go Sunbirds. All right. Good thank job you, by you. Really appreciate you, AJ. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
You bet.